Hello, this is your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Mary McGrory, with Northland Views. Today I'll be reading articles from the Navajo Times and the Navajo Hopi Observer. Today's headlines have to do with fresh food distribution on the reservation, comments from the Winslow mayor, New Mexico governor appointing two new judges, and other interesting events. Let's start with this story from the Navajo Times of Tuesday, March 18th. Headline, Page Police honors Navajo Police Sergeant Rodney Slim. This appeared first online on March 18th. Dateline, Page. Page Police Chief Tim Lang on March 13th presented Navajo Police Sergeant Rodney Slim with a plaque that represents Page Police's gratitude for his service and assistance to the Page, Lake Powell communities. Lang last Thursday said Slim has assisted the Page Police Department with multiple investigations that involve both the Navajo Nation and the city of Page. In November last year, Navajo Police Chief Ronald Silversmith allowed Sergeant Slim to work with and assist us with our Page Lake Powell Balloon Regatta, which we are extremely grateful for, said Lang, a former Navajo police officer who served in the Tuba City Police District. Slim is from Western Navajo, residing in Page and Coppermine, Arizona. Lang added that Slim is a valued member of the law enforcement family in northern Arizona. Now, another article from the Navajo Times of Tuesday, March 18th. This is by Krista Allen, first appeared online on March 14th. Headline, La Planta Nez Consulting Partners Promote Health Through Fresh Food Distribution. Again, dateline, Page, Dadeslin Hotza. Their goal is to share food and help communities in the region, said Victor J. Flores, executive director of La Planta, based in Tijeras, New Mexico. We want to get into communities and be there, Flores said. La Planta, the Physicians Committee, and former President Jonathan Nez and Fafilia Nez of Nez Consulting are organizing several plant-based food distribution events in the region. The first event, a trial run, took place March 5th at Navajo Technical University in Crown Point, where its peer navigators coordinated the distribution of 30,000 pounds of produce for Navajo Technical University students, faculty, and the Crown Point community. The next event was scheduled today, March 14th, at the Moncopy Developers Corporation 2V grounds near Denny's in Moncopy, Arizona. Because of the severe winter storm in Arizona's high country, some northern Arizona highways were closed Thursday night. Weather conditions impacted food delivery operations. The Moncopy event has been postponed to March 21st. It's getting fresh produce to the communities, Jonathan Nez said. Flores added, it's one of the biggest things. Health and wellness. Two of Nez's top priorities as the Navajo Nation vice president and then president, respectively, were health and wellness. This hasn't changed since he left office in January 2023. I made a lot of connections throughout the years, and now we are consultants, my wife and I. We have a consulting firm, he said. We have a lot of good people. They're willing to help in many ways. Nez Consulting teamed up with the Physicians Committee in October 2024, providing workshops in the Nation and the Hopi Reservation. We brought a group of folks together, and one of them was La Planta, Nez explained. Fast forward to today, we kept a partnership going. We just got done with a successful distribution at Navajo Technical University. That partnership was facilitated by a young man, Corey Begay. He wanted to do something for the students there. Now the group is looking to provide distribution events for NTU's four instructional sites, Chinle, Tisnos Pos, Kirtland, and Ah Shui College and Career Readiness Center in Zuni, New Mexico. The group will provide a distribution event during the four-day Tuba City Spring Festival on May 17th. Additionally, it is collaborating with Red Sun Productions to organize a health and wellness concert. Victor's talking with Fred Davis of Red Sun Productions. They're working on other food distributions, said Nez, whose administration worked with many nonprofit organizations like La Planta and the Physicians Committee, focused on a plant-based diet to bring food to the Navajo Nation during the coronavirus pandemic. We really focused on eating right and being healthy, pushing back on diabetes, pushing back on cardiovascular disease, Nez explained. There's not much produce available in our supermarkets. Don't get me wrong. Bosch's is great. They've got produce coming in, but this gets right into the community. Nez added he doesn't see many health and wellness activities in communities across the Navajo Nation. We just want to keep that momentum going. We want to make sure there's continuity, and that's what I've been doing the past couple of years. La Planta. Flores has been working with Mexican-American and Native American communities dedicated to fostering awareness of the vegan lifestyle for nearly 10 years. During the pandemic, Flores worked with another organization that offered mobile food pantries, which La Planta reactivated because it aligned with its mission. La Planta's mission is empowering underserved communities to adopt plant-based diets through culturally sensitive education, accessible food aid, and inclusive outreach. It's a little different, but we felt that it would align with our mission of getting food and information out to communities that aren't usually exposed to healthier eating, Flores said. Mr. Nez, I ran into him back in October. We thought it would be a good idea if we reactivated all these contacts we used to have of resources for food to get out to the communities, because obviously the need is still there all over the world. The goal is to have these distributions be consistent, he added, and help our communities and be informed with information. We're not here to push anything on anybody. We're here to share that food. It's important for us. Flores said local teams at the distribution events hand out food on their own procedures. Most of the produce comes from the San Fernando Valley in California, Flores explained. A lot of the food is rescued off in the fields, and a lot of the food is rescued from big corporates like Whole Foods, Safeway, Kroger, all those big companies. And we're able to rescue this through another organization in Los Angeles. And then we pay for the transportation to give to communities we most want to give to. The next drive-through community fresh food distribution will be Friday, March 21st, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., Moencopie Developer Corporation's Tuuvi Ground near Denny's. Let me remind you that you're listening to Northland Views from the Flagstaff Studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds programming is directed to those who cannot use print material due to a disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website sunsounds.org. You can also get our stream and on-demand programs with the new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android devices. Let's turn to some articles from the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday, March 12, 2025. First article on page one, headline, Winslow Mayor Bertie Cano Continues to Break Barriers. This is by Alexandra Wittenberg for the Navajo Hopi Observer. Winslow Mayor Roberta Bertie Wilcox Cano made history in 2020 as the first Native American to be elected a mayor in Arizona. This year, she began her third term in the role, and she continues to break down barriers and make history for the community. She is proud to represent both her Navajo and Pueblo roots from her father and Scottish and Irish roots from her mother. Her Navajo side is of the Edgewater clan, and her Puebloan side are the Oke Owinge, winter people. The one thing I'll say about having gone into this position as the mayor and politics, we're kind of breaking the mold of what our council and mayors look like, she said. We've had the same people for decades, and they didn't represent the true demographics of Winslow. Of Winslow's population of 9,000, American Indians make up the largest percentage at 32%. Kano makes sure that even Winslow's youngest citizens know opportunities for their future are endless. Making around $400 a month as mayor, Kano supplements her income by substituting at the local schools and bartending. While substituting, she often has kids ask about being mayor and has to tell them that no, she doesn't live in a mansion, and a mayor can look like and be anyone, including them. I was that kid. I was shy. I didn't think I'd ever be in this position. I just knew there were things that needed to change, she said. You always look to somebody else, but if it bothers you that much, you just need to be the one to do it. At a recent conference with Advance Native, Kano was shocked to learn there were only 436 Native elected government officials in the entire U.S. Last year, she joined the National League of Cities Local Indigenous Leaders Caucus and works to uplift current and future Indigenous leaders. We're trying to grow our numbers. We're reaching out to a lot of areas that would have bigger representation. The more we grow, the bigger the message, she said. The city of Winslow has a close relationship with the bordering Hopi tribe, Kano said, and at the city events, she always makes sure to start with a land acknowledgement recognizing them. We've actually been in front of the whole council and gone to their meetings and talked about how we can partner together. That would be very beneficial for our residual income for generations, Kano said. I always say this was your land first. You should have a seat at our table, and you should have a piece of whatever we're doing. Kano hopes Winslow could possibly partner with the Hopi tribe on a solar farm or other energy source. She said a $900 million investment in Winslow recently went down the drain due to the city's lack of energy resources. We've been stagnant for 50-plus years, and there hasn't been any investment in Winslow because there really wasn't any reason to do so, Kano said. Hopi land could very well be our source of energy until APS is ready to catch up. The Navajo Nation also has land in Winslow's city limits, and Kano said it is just a matter of time before they begin talks with them on economic development as well. Kano met Navajo Nation President Buu Nigrin in October through former President Biden's formal apology for Indian boarding schools, bringing light back into the city. Kano grew up in Winslow in the 70s and 80s, where she remembers the grass being greener. There was just this whole sort of up-and-coming feeling towards Winslow, where we're going and what we're doing. Everything that flowed through the downtown area, that was just bustling. There were restaurants, there were shops, there were bars, there was everything all up and down Route 66. Kano reminisces about the energized communal feel of Winslow, where there were battles of the bands, powwows, and trading posts before it was bypassed by Interstate 40. By the time she graduated in the 1990s, most of those shops were boarded up. It was dead. It was gross. The streets were bad. Just such a downturn in economics, she said, noting that many of her generation left for greener pastures. Kano, too, lived for 12 years in Yuma before coming back to Winslow in 2005. She is more than ready for the city's comeback. Having known what it was, what it turned into, and what it could be again, that's where we're headed, she said. Since the city of Winslow successfully secured critical funding to improve its levee and reduce the risk of flooding, Kano said interest has grown drastically in the city. Once that money was awarded, the phone hasn't stopped ringing. The floodplain is going to be gone. There's opportunity, there's land, there's water, there's great modes of transportation with I-40, the railroad, the airport, Kano said. Infrastructure that would take billions of dollars to create is already here. People see the investment and the possibilities in Winslow, she said. Kano counts the Leving funding as her biggest success since taking office. It had been on the city agenda for 15 years and cost $100 million to fix. It was a joint effort between federal funding and city and state savings. Energy needs will be the focus of this term, she said. As more industry and investors become interested in Winslow, Kano and her staff are figuring out how to navigate. She said they are now on good terms with Atlas Global Development, which submitted their draft preliminary planned area development to the city in May. Atlas plans to reshape 1,618 city acres into an industrial park, bringing immense growth to the city in coming years. Kano said they've gone through all the dips and ups and downs that came along with respecting locals' hesitancy on the changes the developer would bring. But the turning point was when Atlas finally decided to back down and leave the historic South Side and Coopertown neighborhoods out of the proposals. I even had a position at one point in time where I yelled at them. I'm like, why are you messing with this neighborhood? You need to understand the trauma of what was lost for all those years and what they've had to live with, Kano said of the marginalized community. One thing Kano loves about Winslow is that although not everyone gets along, everyone, when it comes to the needs of the community, rallies together. Winslow's best feature is the people and the diversity. One of my fears is that as we grow and get bigger, some of that might diminish a little. Winslow's power couple. Kano worked at the Department of Corrections for 17 years, but after getting burnt out, dipped her toes into a city job at the Recreation Department. From there, she worked her way up into City Hall. Her husband, Ernesto Kano, remained in law enforcement and is now the acting chief of the Winslow Police Department after the recent retirement of Franklin Caldwell in November. Ernesto was one of the officers on the scene at the 2016 shooting of Navajo mother L'Oreal Tsingini, the 27-year-old Navajo mother shot to death by a white Winslow police officer for brandishing scissors. When Kano ran for office in 2020, she said her close relationship with the department would help ensure more fairness in the community. She does believe that the police department has improved since then, cultivated by new relationships with tribal leaders. She said there's still room for improvement, however, especially with younger officers getting proper cultural training. There was that 2016 incident that took place that a lot of people still have hard feelings over, Kano said. Anytime you have an issue like that, there's always room to grow and there's always, how do we do it better in the future? And I think that's what the takeaway was with the police department. We want to try to avoid any possibility of something like that happening ever again. Kano and the Winslow Police Department have been in talks with a Diné couple who do native cultural training for police departments. Though Kano's term as mayor will end in December 2026, her legacy is sure to continue for years to come. Remember, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand from our website. Choose Broadcast Info and Audio, and then On Demand. Another article from the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday, March 12th. Headline, Tribal Leaders Raise Concerns Over Federal Cuts to Indigenous Communities. This is by Shandine Silversmith and first appeared in the Arizona Mirror. From securing funding for Indian health services and ongoing water settlements to increasing investments in infrastructure, education, and law enforcement, many Indigenous leaders and organizations are raising the alarm about the devastation that federal funding cuts could bring for Native Americans. More than 60 tribal leaders and organizations from across Indian country testified over 3 days to a U.S. House of Representatives Appropriations Subcommittee on the federal funding needs of Indigenous people and their communities nationwide. I know there's never enough funding to go around, Gila River Indian Community Governor Stephen Rowe Lewis said, and he appreciates how the subcommittee has consistently set aside several days to hear Indian Country's funding priorities. It is the process that starts the funding decisions for tribal programs, staffing, and priorities for this administration, he added. Tribal leaders and organizations gave 5-minute testimonies to the subcommittee from February 25th to February 27th. Lewis used his 5 minutes to discuss the Trump administration's actions and their impact on his community. There is real fear within tribal communities about what is happening in Washington, D.C., he said, referencing the freezing of federal funding and the mass firing of federal employees across the government. Lewis said that many may applaud the slashing of federal funding because they have been convinced it is fraught with waste and abuse, or even those who see federal employees as a new enemy. I doubt you will hear a tribal leader argue that the federal government can't be made more efficient or that there aren't places where cuts could be made, he said. After all, we've been dealing with the federal government longer than any other group in this country. However, Lewis said the chainsaw approach of indiscriminately cutting employees taken by President Donald Trump and billionaire businessman Elon Musk, who has been directing the so-called Department of Government Efficiency, will not create efficiencies or save billions of dollars. He added that the cuts are being made without considering how they will impact services. Rather than making the government more efficient and effective, it is creating a federal workforce that is paralyzed by fear. Lewis called the administration's actions destabilizing and said they will have a disproportionate impact on Indian Country. The government-to-government relationship is only as strong as our federal partner, he said. And right now there is real concern that the federal side of this partnership has the real potential of being dismantled. Lewis said that reforms can and should be made. But, he said, they should be made in a way that provides insight, dignity, and consultation with tribal governments and among those with the experience and knowledge of tribal programs. It is up to this committee to make those decisions, he said, ensuring certainty among Indigenous peoples that the programs they depend on won't be cut. Certainty that our tribal sovereignty will be upheld and honored. Treaty and trust obligations. Multiple tribal leaders said organizations urged the subcommittee to help them hold the administration accountable for the federal funding allocated to Indigenous peoples and their communities. Tribal programs are not DEI initiatives, Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community President Martin Harvier said, referring to the Trump administration's efforts to eliminate all diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in the federal government. They are a fulfillment of treaty and trust obligations and must not be subject to arbitrary reductions or freezes. During the 3-day subcommittee hearing, tribal leaders and organizations emphasized their community's various needs, highlighting issues ranging from insufficient law enforcement to the necessity of sustainable roads on tribal land to the importance of urban native programs. Indian Country continues to struggle with generations of crumbling infrastructure, limited access to health care, underfunded law enforcement, and an ongoing fight for clean water, Navajo Nation President Boo Nigrin said. These issues aren't just numbers in a budget. Nigrin said it is the everyday realities of Navajo and Native families throughout Indian Country. As an example, he told the subcommittee about the Navajo Nation's dire need for emergency medical services support, highlighting how people needing an ambulance often wait 45 minutes or longer. If an ambulance is even available, he added, noting that Navajo EMS answers roughly 20,000 calls a year and their funding has not been increased in decades. This is a matter of life and death, he said. We ask for dedicated funding for our tribal emergency medical service, including a $4 million allocation specifically for the Navajo Nation. Funding needs for public safety were a big concern for many tribal leaders, including the San Carlos Apache tribe. San Carlos Apache Chairman Terry Rambler shared that the San Carlos Apache Police Department has only 19 officers and needs approximately 75 to adequately patrol their large tribal land area. Rambler said San Carlos Apache police officers often work 12-hour shifts, patrol over 360,000 miles per year, and endure extreme situations made worse by the lack of an adequate facility. During the hearing, Subcommittee Chairman Mike Simpson, a Republican from Idaho, acknowledged the importance of keeping police officers and firefighters in indigenous communities rather than allowing the community to serve merely as a training ground for them to move on to areas with better pay and benefits. Those are important issues we've got to work on, he said. Tohono O'odham Vice Chairman Carla Johnson shared with the committee that there are over 700 miles of Bureau of Indian Affairs roads on her reservation, and they are all in poor condition. The BIA road maintenance program has been underfunded for years and has a huge backlog, she said. Nationwide, only 13% of BIA roads are in acceptable condition. Johnson said more funding must be provided for the BIA roads program because roads within their community are how tribal citizens access all essential services, how federal and tribal law enforcement engage in border security, and the kind of EMS response possible. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Northland Views from the Flagstaff Studios of Sun Sounds of Northern Arizona. I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Mary McGrarty Nishley. Ahyehye, thank you for listening. Please join us again next week. Until then, hagone.